looking at lesson 8 in our series, When You Can't Just Get Over It. And today's theme is recovering from rejection. Recovering from rejection. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for these hymns that we were able to sing a moment ago. Worship and praise to you. And I pray, God, that our spirit and heart would be in tune with what you have, that your spirit would have free course in this hour. Empty us of ourselves, fill us with the Spirit, whether we're speaking or listening. Would you get all the glory for it is our prayer. Please guide and direct now in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think about being rejected, I don't know that there's anything about it that is fun when you think about suffering and going through rejection. And maybe you've experienced that in your life. Maybe you're experiencing it right now in some way. I'm not sure. I don't know everyone's testimony. In fact, I don't know everyone who's listening. But here's the deal. God knows where you are. God knows exactly what you need today. And so let's look into the Word of God and see how we can recover from it or be prepared for it when it comes. We're going to look at the story of a man by the name of Jephthah. And he was rejected. It wasn't a small rejection. It was a major rejection. In fact, there was something about his life that he had absolutely no control over, and that was the home that he was born into. And, you know, again, we could all say that, right? We didn't choose the home that we were born into. It's just how it all worked out with God's plan in mind. Now, in the sense of Jephthah, he was the son of a harlot. He was the son of a harlot. And it got so bad that his brothers actually kicked him out of the home. He was rejected. Look at Judges chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. Might want to take note of that. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. Quite the name, eh? Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. All right, let's take a look at this. If you have the notebook, if you have the book that we're going through or something to write with, maybe you want to take some notes here as we look at Jephthah's life and how to deal with various types of rejection. Number one is the presence of rejection, the presence of it. Just so you know, I'm sure you already know this, it is real. Rejection is real. It happens to everyone at some point in their life. In this case, his own family pushed him away, and possibly that's even something that you have endured in your life. Letter A, the causes of rejection. The causes of rejection. Why does rejection come? Well, I will say this. Sometimes our feelings get involved in this so much so that we think it's something that we did or something that we could have avoided, but on the contrary, just like Jephthah, in this case, no control over it whatsoever. It wasn't he who chose to be born to a strange woman or a harlot, as the Bible says in verse 1 there. He couldn't determine his mother's background. He had no control over that. He had no control over any of this. But in this case, we see he was still rejected. In other words, God doesn't want you or me to view things in the way that others do. Let's think about how God views us. How does God view us? He doesn't view us any different than anyone else. It doesn't matter what your upbringing or my upbringing, if they're completely different, God views us in the exact same way. We are equal in the eyes of a holy God. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, we looked at it some time ago in our study in Acts, that God is not a respecter of persons. That's in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34. Maybe you want to jot that down. I want you to think about this for just a minute. I'm going to read something, and I want you to kind of meditate on it. I don't usually read this long of a section, but I want to read specifically here. Can you picture the scene described in these verses? What verses am I talking about? James chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, 1 through 4 and verse 9, where there it talks about somebody coming in with a gold ring and then somebody coming in vile raiment, and how they are looked at and how they are respected. The impeccably groomed man enters the congregation wearing expensive clothing and jewelry. Behind him enters another man without the wealthy apparel or elegance of the other. In fact, the second man, the Bible tells us, comes in dirty, faded clothing and the opposite of the first man. Immediately, the church members flock to the first man, offering the best seats. Again, this is a description of what happened there in James. But the poor man, the church basically snubs him, leaving him with the worst seat, or even asking him to stand. This is a hypothetical situation. This is not something that we want to be known by at Anchor Baptist Church. And I'm sure you don't want to be known by that in the church that you're a part of. In fact, this is an attitude that God despises. This is looking at someone on the outside and showing them more favor simply by what they look like, smell like, or act like, or how they conduct themselves. Aren't you glad God didn't look at you that way? Aren't you glad God doesn't look at us in one way and look at our neighbor in the other way? God is no respecter of persons. But in the case of Jephthah, his brothers rejected him and looked at him differently simply because of his upbringing, his mother. Now, one thing about this is that you see in the text, which was interesting to me even in studying this, there's no criticism of the brothers toward their father. Now, as far as I know, and I'm not trying to be cute or funny, but it takes more than a harlot to have a baby. You got to have a male, right? It takes a male and a female to have a baby. That's the way God intended it to be, by the way. Amen. After marriage, of course. So there's no criticism of the father here. They only rejected Jephthah for who his mother was. And so much so they said, you're not going to even have a part of our father's inheritance. And so what a difficult situation this was for Jephthah. Why would they want Jephthah to be out of the inheritance? I'll tell you why. They wanted more. They wanted more. Isn't it amazing? The love of money is the root of all evil. Nothing wrong with having things that God gives us. And remember, I said it earlier, he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. But when those things begin to take over and they have us, that's a problem. Well, that's exactly why they wanted Jephthah out of the home. They wanted more. In many cases, beyond being rejected for who we are, we can also be rejected for what we do. For what we do. In fact, this could be the case if we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you're willing to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you're willing to compassionately and boldly stand up for Jesus. Then it could be that we would be rejected simply because of who we are associated with. And I'm reminded of that as I read this morning, that the world hated me before it hated you, Jesus said. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 11, in the great Sermon on the Mount, a part of the Beatitudes there, the Bible says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. He says, blessed are you. Happy are you, right? I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. You know, somebody rejected me for standing for Christ. We could add a little second verse to that chorus today. Well, that's exactly what's happened in Jephthah's life, and that's exactly what's happened here in Matthew 5, that we are blessed when we continue to serve God despite the opinions of the society in which we live in. I say today, let's continue to honor God with our life. Let's continue to honor God with our speech. No matter what men may say, no matter what government may say, you and I need to honor God above all else. But that means we might be rejected in some way because of it. And Jesus said, blessed are you when that takes place. So, letter A, the causes of rejection. Now, rejection can also come, as we think about this, because we've done something wrong. And we do need to take the steps to make it right. And but the causes of rejection. Letter B, the conduits of rejection. The conduits. Where does rejection flow from? Well, the author, the writer of the Sunday school curriculum says that rejection can come from anywhere. Our foes, our friends, and our family. It can come from anywhere. We have no idea. I think everyone listening right now, or maybe later, would agree that you expect to be rejected by an enemy. By an enemy. Sometimes our enemies are actually strangers, people who don't even know us. They don't know what we believe. They don't know how we are. And yet we are criticized for simply, maybe not simply, for taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a temptation comes, a temptation will come that when we are rejected by our enemies, when we're rejected by society, look, nobody wants to be rejected. It is not in you, it is not in me to just go out and naturally say, I hope everybody hates me. I've never met anybody like that. Now, again, there are people that might portray that, but I really believe down deep, they're the ones that need attention the most. And that's how they say it. They just say, I don't care if everybody hates me, when they really care the most. So the point is, no one in the world today says, I just hope everybody rejects me. No. And so what the tendency to this is when rejection comes and when the push comes, what do? We back away. And if we're not careful, many times we'll compromise. We'll compromise when we need to stand. We'll compromise when we need to push forward. Why? Because we love approval. We love acceptance. Psalm 17, verses 8 and 9. We find great comfort and we find great strength here in the Word of God. It says in verse 8, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me. From my deadly enemies who compass me. About. So it can come from people that don't even know who we are, our foes, our enemies. Secondly, it can come from our friends. It can come from our friends. Now you say, well, that should be the one we should be able to depend on. You're right, we should be able to. Psalm 41 and verse 9 says, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, what happened? Lifted up his heel against me. Rejection comes that way as well. Well, Who do we lean on for everything? We lean on the Lord. We lean on Him. I'm glad for friends, but don't lean harder on a friend than on the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. John chapter 13 and verse 8 says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. There's no one that was rejected in a greater way than the Lord Jesus Christ. No one. My rejection, your rejection, not even comparable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because why, Pastor Turner? Because the people who He created, which is everybody, by the way, rejected Him. The creation rejected the Creator. For the one who He was giving His life for. Imagine that, if you will, that Roman soldier who had the hammer in his hand and the nail in his other hand and was putting it into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was those hands that were dying. It was that body that was dying, that Savior that was dying for that man who was pounding the nails in. An unbelievable rejection that the Lord Jesus Christ endured. He was crucified. He endured betrayal. And by the way, He is here for us today. He is in the presence of His Spirit. God's Spirit, as a believer, is with you today and with me today. But sometimes not only is it our enemies, our foes, and not only is it our friends, but sometimes the source of the conduit of the rejection is family. Family. That's Jephthah's story. His own flesh and blood didn't want him. That's a very difficult rejection, isn't it? Possibly you're enduring something right now with that. Once again, however, Jesus experienced this in John 7 and verse 5, where God's word says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." The rejection of family. Rejection hurts. It's inevitable. So that's number one, the presence of rejection. Number two, the natural responses to rejection. The natural responses. And within this point, we're going to look at the infamous vow that Jephthah made. He made a vow to God so that he would have victory. Look at chapter 11. I believe you're there with me still. Look at verse 30. "And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering." A burnt offering. Wow. What a reckless vow. What a chance he's taking. What was he really thinking? What was he focused on? Well, here's what he was focused on. He wanted to be accepted. He wanted to prove his worth to those who rejected him. Now remember, we have value not in people, but our value is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has already accepted us. We are accepted in the Beloved. You see, the Lord did give Jephthah a victory, but quickly it turned from victory and joy and excitement to tragedy. Because what came into Jephthah's path immediately following the victory was his daughter, his only child. Let's skip down to verse 35. "And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. She said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which proceedeth out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows." And it goes on there, reading verse 39, 40. Now again, this isn't the day to debate. This isn't the day to look into it deeply. But there are many people way more have deep in study in this than me. And there are many that think that she wasn't literally burnt, sacrificed, if you will, but that she was never allowed to marry. Again, some people think that was exactly what happened to this, which would have eliminated the line there, if you will. But either way, whatever took place in this, the vow for acceptance for Jephthah came at a high cost. Again, I submit to you that where do we find our fulfillment? Do we find our fulfillment in the acceptance of our enemies, our friends, or our family? Or do we find it in our Heavenly Father? By the way, He loves you. There isn't anything about you that you can change. God can change you from the inside out, but He made you in His image. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, and He loves you. And He has a perfect plan for your life. Letter A is confusion. Confusion. This is what comes as a result of rejection. It can leave us with a twisted viewpoint of ourselves, as I've already said, that we need to recognize that God made us how we are, God put us in the place where we are, and His plan is always best. Confusion. Letter B, contention. Contention. Rejection transforms the view we have of others. You see, when you get rejected and I get rejected by a husband, by a wife, by a friend, foe, or family, whatever it may be, what happens? Our trust then to give to someone else later on down the road who had nothing to do with the rejection is compromised. Again, where do we put our trust fully? It needs to be in the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So sometimes rejection causes us to build a wall, walls around ourselves, and we're just going to stay within that wall. We're never going to have a relationship, a close relationship with anyone else, because I'm not going to let I never want to feel rejected again. Again, I remind you, it's like trying to convince someone they need to forgive someone, and they're stubborn and they don't want to do it. And then you say, well, have you ever considered what God forgave you from? You know what happens when we get that way? It's bitterness has come in, pride has come in, and instead of being willing to accept and move on with somebody and move on with our life and move on with what God has for us, contention becomes the way we live our life. And many times people who struggle with anger, there's something in their past that we could point to. And I'm not saying we point to it and, you know, rub it in. I'm not saying that. That could be pointed to that there was a rejection in their past. And they never dealt with it properly. And so contention can come in. What's another one when rejection comes? So confusion can come in. What did I do? Confusion, right? You know, why is this happening to me? Contention can come in. You know, and we build a fortress around ourselves and say, okay, no one else is getting in. Compliance, letter C. Compliance, what does this mean? We get acceptance in all the wrong places. Okay, so if you won't accept me, I'm going to find somebody that will. And what does that mean? What is that leading to? It's going to lead to sin. It's going to lead to sin. We see that in Absalom's life. His father David rejected him. And again, that was not right. No, I won't see him. And that whole thing, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 28 to 31. And we also learned about Absalom yesterday a little bit as well. And so we see that Absalom's life could be a sign of compliance. In other words, you search to find acceptance over truth. I want to be accepted so bad that I'm going to be willing to live my life. And this is peer pressure, right? This is peer pressure. Teenagers face this today. Adults face this today. In other words, we're going to live in such a way that we honor the Word of God more and more. There's going to be more and more possible rejection simply because we identify with the Word of God. And may we not cave in to this compliance type. Look at how many churches today. Look, I know there's. I don't mean to say that in that it's all churches, but look at all the different, even mainline denominations today that have become more and more accepting of homosexuality. Oh, God loves everybody. Oh yeah, God does love everybody. But God is also a God of judgment. God is righteous. God is holy. And so we can't be so overwhelmed in our society today as God's children that we're compliant with everything that comes up simply because we don't want someone to feel rejected. By the way, no one has been rejected by God. Many have rejected him. God is not willing that any should perish. So it doesn't matter today if you're listening and whatever you've been involved in or whatever you're involved in today, I want you to know that God loves you and he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for you that you might have eternal life. Satan, really, who looks like he's accepting you, is really rejecting you and bringing you to hell with him. Turn to Jesus, the one who died to pay the penalty for your sin, and repent and come to him today and be saved, and he will never cast you out. Guaranteed no rejection in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him humbly. Because the Bible says God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. David's, or Absalom's rejection caused him to rebel against the king. Bitterness came in. I wonder today, possibly there's somebody in your life, or maybe even they're still alive, and there's something about what they've done to you that you just have never been able to get over it. Like the title of our theme, right? You were rejected in some way. Maybe they've already passed on. But you need to deal with that in a biblical way. And you know what can even happen? We can even begin to get to the point where we look upward and say, God, why did you do this? And we blame God. You know, God's given every man and every woman, every one of his creation, human creation, a free will. God did not make Adam and Eve eat the fruit. They chose to. God did not make someone this week pull a trigger and murder someone. And no, the gun didn't kill him. Sin killed him. Choice was made. And so we have to be very careful that when rejection, we allow rejection to stay around in our heart too long, we can begin to be bitter, and then that bitterness can even be toward God himself. And so we see compliance is also a place where bitterness reveals itself. So we have the presence of rejection. We have the natural responses to rejection. Let's look at one more quickly. The biblical principles for rejection. Blank there is principles. So you've been rejected. Maybe even you've been rejected recently in some way. So what is the natural route to this problem? The natural route is we want to be accepted no matter what it costs. In Jephthah's case, that's what he did. He wanted to be accepted by his brothers. Or could we choose a path of healing? Obviously, we want to choose that path, don't we? So what does this look like? Letter A, rejection can be a sign you are doing right. I hope you'll meditate on these last few things here. I hope you've been helped already, but I want you to really concentrate. Rejection can be a sign you are doing right. We've kind of mentioned that already. Are you going to look for acceptance within this world? Or are you going to look for your acceptance beyond this world? Are you going to look for the acceptance in the temporal? Are you going to look for, or am I going to look for acceptance in the eternal? Am I going to go the easy way, or am I going to go the path that offers resistance, but where victory has already been provided? When I am rejected by others for being a representative of the God of heaven, here's my advice, keep going. When I am rejected for being a godly witness, keep going. When I am rejected for being a holy Joe, whoever, I don't know who holy Joe is today, but keep going. Stand on the word of God, stand lovingly, and keep on going. Rejection can be a sign that you're doing right. Scripture tells us, again, that we are to be happy when we suffer. Quickly go over to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Wow. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. There you go. Don't worry about what the world's saying. Your life and my life, surrender to the Lord, not by our own way or anything, can bring glory to God. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, what's a Christian? Christ follower. I've heard a lot of people say, I'm a Christian. And I don't know who they thought they were following, but it wasn't Jesus Christ. So when you claim the name Christian, it means you're not following yourself. It means you're not following this world. It means you're following Jesus Christ. And when you follow Jesus Christ, you know what he said? I will make you to become fishers of men. So when you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Instead, let him glorify God on this behalf. Even in the midst of rejection, we can say, God, I want my life to glorify you. God, I want my testimony for, I don't want anybody to think, wow, how did they make it through that? I want them to say, there must be somebody in their life that's helping them along the way. And it's the Lord who helps us. The Bible says, my help cometh from who? The Lord, which made heaven and earth. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And again, when I look at suffering and I think of suffering, I think it's all relative. What does suffering mean to you? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to people in different parts of the world today? What does rejection mean to you, really, in this whole theme, really? What does it mean to be rejected? What is the worst rejection you've ever had? And let's, you know, I know we're not to compare ourselves, but I think we do have to have a perspective of the words that we look at, rejection and suffering. We still have it pretty good in North America. We still have it pretty good in Canada. But I think we need to be prepared. I think we need to be prepared that even though rejection comes, it isn't necessarily because we've done something wrong. It could be because we're doing something right. Letter A. Letter B. Rejection may have nothing to do with you. Many times when we're rejected, we think the problem is with us. If I had a better personality, if I were better looking, if I were skinnier, taller, if I had different parents, if I had more money, if I had this, if I had that. And that's not the reason you've been or I've been rejected. I like what the prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 1 and verse number 5 of the book Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had a special purpose and plan for Jeremiah's life before he was even born. And I want you to tell you today that the same God that created Jeremiah is the same God that created you and the same God that created me. And his purpose is all we need to be seeking. Stop seeking the purpose of everyone around you and start seeking the purpose of the God who loves you. You know, you think about when I start to put all this together in my mind, and I can't put it all together yet, I still have a few puzzle pieces missing. What I'm saying is I won't be able to put it all together until I'm in heaven. Because I just can't, my head doesn't comprehend God fully, right? That God knew where I was going to be born. He knew my parents. He knew my my wife before, obviously, I did. He knew who I would marry. He knew all of this. All of our stories look completely different, but God is the one who was behind it all. He knew all of this. I am specifically and created, and you are specifically created for a unique purpose that no one else can do. Don't forget that. No one else can be you. Would you look at your thumb for just a minute? You look at your thumb. Okay, you need a ride. This is how you get one. No, just look at your thumb. You got a thumbprint. Do you know that that thumbprint is the only one of its kind? There's no thumbprint like that thumbprint that I'm looking at right now. The one you're looking at, there's none like it. God gave you a thumbprint and me a thumbprint. They're all different thumbprints. Aren't you glad you say, well, you know, that's just simple. No, that's not simple. See, God created you, God created me, and we need to stop spending our lives trying to please people or trying to please this person or that person. Let's spend our lives living for the glory of God and rejoicing in the fact that He is good and He's got everything under control. You see, Jephthah had no control over the rejection. And yet, he spent his life trying to make up for something he never did wrong. God even told Samuel the rejection he was experiencing had nothing to do with him. The Israelites had asked Samuel, remember, we want a what? King. It had nothing to do with Samuel. Samuel hadn't done anything wrong. God assured Samuel that the rejection that they placed on him was about their relationship with him, and they had rejected God. In fact, 1 Samuel 8 and verse 7, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So rejection can be a sign you are doing right. Rejection may have nothing to do with you. Letter C, even in rejection, Jesus is all we need. Jesus is all we need. Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. You see, all Satan wants you to think is God isn't enough. My friend, God is enough. God is sufficient. Letter D, when rejected, focus on being a help to others. Focus on being a help to others. You know, it's amazing when we take our eyes off of self, no matter what the situation is, things begin to be a little bit more clearly seen. And when we're always thinking and looking at our rejection, it clouds our view, doesn't it? Find somebody to help today. Find somebody to serve today. Find somebody to encourage today. And again, the ultimate place for acceptance, it's not in the group, it's not in the gang. Again, why are there gangs looking for acceptance? Many of those young men, and I guess there's ladies now, I don't know if you say it that way, but boys and girls, that's what they are, I guess. I don't know. What I'm saying is, why are they there? I have not done a survey on it. I've not done a lot of reading on it. I'm only speculating right now, but I don't think it's a very big stretch. Many of them are where they are because of rejection. They're all over the Lower Mainland. We had one shot and killed right by our house a few weeks ago. Just a young man, 20 years old, I think. In the gang scene, in the drug scene. Why? Because he was rejected somewhere along the line. And we you know, they get in the gang and maybe seen some movies or things where, you know, there's an initiation. You need to be in this gang. I remember one of those Sherwood movies that was put out, you know. I can't remember which one that was, but there was a scene of a gang, you know, and they were beating on the guy and, you know, gave him a black eye and just to get into the gang. Satan wants you to be in his gang, but he doesn't accept you. Even though he makes it look like that. Look, we find our acceptance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we find acceptance? I'll tell you where we find it. At the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross. In Christ, we are completely accepted by God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You want acceptance? Look to Jesus. You want purpose? Look to Jesus. Hey, teenager, you want acceptance? Don't look in the gangs. Look to Jesus. You want acceptance? Don't look to the Snapchat world or the social media world or the whatever world. And it looks like, you know, we're popular and all this. No, find your acceptance in the Word of God. Find your acceptance in the God of the Word. And find your acceptance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those gangs, you are only used until you are done and then you're abused, tossed out. By the way, we need to be a church that is ready and willing to allow to minister to people with cufflinks and minister to people that have a ripped up t-shirt. We need to minister to everyone. And believe me, because I have cufflinks on doesn't mean I have a lot of money. We need to minister to everybody. Let's not be like the depiction that was listed in James. Why? Because God's accepted us. We don't accept everyone's sin, but we want to accept everyone. And what do we want to do? Point them to Jesus.